We're back. Now, the world is in grievous trouble. We know that. But what most people don't pay much attention to, unless it directly affects them, unfortunately, is the climate. They're absorbed with geopolitics, the ball games, social media, etc. They're not paying attention to what's been done to the climate of this planet. Humankind has done most of it. I won't rule out any off-planet interference either, frankly. That's just me, though. I'm not speaking for anybody else. But the damage to the climate here, and especially chemtrails, which have been around since about, what, the mid-80s? Something like that. And we don't have any idea of how many different chemicals, toxins, poisons, destructive elements have been put in and are in chemtrails today, which are being sprayed all the time. There's been no let up in it, really. And I know there have been some efforts, some states, Tennessee tried to ban chemtrail spraying, but I got emails from people after that law had been passed and signed that they're still spraying. So I guess that's the issue, that they're going to do whatever they want. But we're inhaling this, we're absorbing it, it's in our bodies, it's in the ground, it's in the groundwater, it's in the plants, it's in the agriculture, it's in the trees, it's killing vegetation everywhere, it's ultimately killing animals. We're not even hearing anything about that in the mainstream media. It's just not mentioned. One person who has dedicated his life to this and who has done more than anyone else I can even imagine to bring the truth forward about the artificial destruction of this planet's climate is Dane Wigington. And you know the website, geoengineeringwatch.org. Hello, Mr. W. Welcome back, neighbor.
Jeff, always a pleasure to join you. And you summed that up so very well. No place to hide from what's happening in our skies and the threat on so many levels, immediate and existential. You're so correct.
It's true, and you've been saying this. I don't know, when did you start geoengineeringwatch.org? When did that start?
2009, and although, uh-huh, as you stated, we began to really put it, the aerosol dispersions here in the 80s, 90s, they've been at it, though, we know, especially over the polar regions since immediately after World War II. They just, uh-huh, kept expanding. So now, Jeff, I know, because we live close together, and these featureless skies we see here now,
yeah,
that are becoming the norm, what people associate with polar skies, they associate the polar zones with these featureless cloud canopies, and now we're seeing that in the lower latitudes, and that's simply SRM. And the same is true with the polar regions. That's not normal there either, but we've seen it for so long, mm-hmm, that people assume that's just how the polar regions should look, and it's not the case.
Oh, interesting point. Got it, yeah.
Every chemical cool down they carry out, and I just talked to, just moments ago, some very dedicated activists up in Washington, and they've had multiple days of this chemical drizzle that freezes on contact, the freezing rain that's now the norm, and it starts building up on everything. This is chemically nucleated moisture that's hitting the surface before it sets up. And nobody even stops to think about what we never saw historically that's now the norm. So, and the Great Lakes, I'm sure you saw what happened there. They're piling up the chemically frozen element. They're using the Great Lakes basically for a snow machine. They're blowing air with atmospheric pressure zone manipulation. They blow, yeah, zonal flows of air across the record-warm Great Lakes and create what amounts to an engineered snow machine, chemically nucleating the moisture that's picked up off those lakes, dumping it in a few locations, Erie, Pennsylvania, and a couple of locations, creating a sensationalized winter pictures of houses buried and cars buried, tiny patches of real estate, and people think that that's what's happening all over. It's not.
I know. Is that what's called, there's a term, I'm not totally familiar with it, but I've seen it a number of times. It's called the Lake Snow Effect. Is that what they're doing in the Great Lakes? The Lake Effect.
It's called Lake Effect Snow. Yep, and so, again, the Great Lakes, record warm. In fact, as of even latter November, parts of the Great Lakes were still pushing 60 degrees. That's phenomenally high. They're still
end of
pushing
November.
50 degrees.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So, again, these are very isolated regions where they're that desperate now to have to engineer zonal flows of air across the lakes, pick up that moisture, uh-huh. and dump it. And they're doing the same thing further north, Jeff, even from the record warm Hudson Bay, far right. further north, north of Quebec. And they're doing the exact same thing there, picking up that moisture, pushing it south, nucleating it, and cooling some areas there. So we see this pendulum back and forth. They just got done cooling the west. We got, after almost 7 months of drought here in Northern California,
yeah.
and where you're at too,
yeah.
we got 20 inches of rain where I'm at in 5 days, and chemically cold, got very cold here, and you can feel it's not a natural cold. You can hear aircraft overhead. We hear them where we're at. We're in a quiet location. That passed through. We're back to balmy, dry. The creek, as we spoke earlier off the air, I think I might have mentioned to you, but our creek here after 20 inches of rain, where my hydro one runs, used to run October to May, dry in 2 days.
Come on.
Back
this
to
is
dry.
Crazy. Hey, now, these are really extremes that are happening. It's not just a little modest thing. It's a big deal. I don't know how much longer they can get away with this. I guess as long as the media keeps hiding it for them, they'll get away with it. It's just not there. The American people are being kept in the dark. Nothing new.
They are losing ground. Yeah. And I spoke to some very credible frontline scientists, researchers in North Carolina today, and they disclosed some of their testing there. There's something major going on there they're hiding. I mean, I'll wait for them to disclose the test results I was given today, but they are beyond shocking. There has to be a massive ground-based contamination that's been uncovered there that they're apparently trying to hide, and they're certainly bombarding them with chemical nucleation on top of all that's been done to them already that's happening. And I had another conversation today with a congressman from South Carolina that has about 20 other representatives now that are aware of the climate engineering issue, aware mm-hmm. of what was done to them with mm-hmm. Hurricane Helene. And as I've tried to advise them, and they I think understand the importance of this, to band together and have enough numbers and support before they stand up and kick up dust so they don't get a boot put over their neck. And I think we're gaining ground in those arenas, Jeff. We really are behind the scenes.
That was very good of you to try and get them to think like that. They've got to start thinking. Those poor people who were battered by Helene are still living in tents, some of them. If they have children, the agencies are coming by and taking their children from them. If they don't have a legitimate home to live in, they won't let them stay with their parents. I mean, this is not the Soviet Union, or is it? This is incredible what's going on back there. And it's all being covered up. You don't hear about it. Unless you look.
No, you don't. Something major is going on there. Now, the individual I spoke to today, the researcher there, that is involved with some of the frontline testing, and they're working with, he met face-to-face, and I know this individual, extremely credible, and he had just met face-to-face with a number of former military that are part of the reparations, and they're incredibly alarmed where they waded into some of the waters there, knee and thigh deep. They have chemical burns now on their skin.
Wow.
And something really radical is going on there, and I'll wait for him to disclose everything before I volunteer at all. But I mean, there's certainly, and this is, we should look at this as only an example of much of the rest of the world, as we recently learned of the 500,000 barrels at least of DDT dumped off the LA Harbor, one of 18 known dump sites now. How much is dumped all over the world, starting to be uncovered? So back to all these individual toxic sites, you can move away from that, be exempt for a while, but as you stated at the start of this broadcast, there is no place to hide from what's coming down through our air column that's being dispersed by climate engineering and all the nanoparticle contamination articles we see now that's building up in our organs with our brains at the top of the list, the most plastic accumulation in our brains. And particles appear to be not just decomposed plastic, these particles that are now ubiquitous, North Pole, South Pole, top of Mount Everest, they're everywhere. They appear to be manufactured particles, which would be what we would expect with the climate engineering operations.
Wow. So I'm going to just guess. I don't need you to come in and certify it or disallow it, but it does sound like there are hidden Superfund sites all over the place, and now, yes, maybe because of Helene, these things have been exposed and they're being turned loose on the surface. They will evaporate and go up into the air and come back down in rain, too. Don't forget about that. Not to mention the fact that they'll evaporate and we'll be breathing them. I think they've done a lot of this. I think that we have trashed our own nest to the extent that it is unforgivable. It's that bad. And what they're doing to people back there, and you people listening, and there are some in that area, you know, bless you all and hang in there. You cannot let evil win. This is a real war against satanic evil. And just do your best. And I hope many of you get a break here and there, because it's been really difficult for a lot of you. I know this.
That's a good description, though, Jeff. I mean, that's Superfund sites that have been hidden. I mean, there's. I was also told of canisters that they have seen, and that the military personnel, the former military, have seen what they believe to be. They've seen Black Hawk choppers trying to retrieve some of these canisters.
All that
would fit together, and you know, we'll know more soon. But
yeah, well, let me know. That this is good.
Not an isolated incident there. I mean, there's who knows how much more everywhere else. But the bottom line, the climate scenario, what we're seeing right now is total desperation to create the change of season appearance to people, and these last rains that came through. The defoliants that we know are in the rain, we're not guessing. This is not a dioxin. It's a synthesized plant hormone that forces deciduous trees into dormancy, so the leaves die and hang on the tree until the wind blows them off. If they're in a sheltered location, you'll see deciduous trees with stone dead leaves hanging on them, sometimes
I've
all winter
this.
Long. That is
I've not, seen a few of those out here.
Nature.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't
that's
fall.
Not nature. And so, yeah. They're so desperate to try to mask the fact that the normal cyclical seasonal changes are not occurring. The climate is broken, and they're just dumping one layer of insanity on top of another. And the testing I'm speaking about, that we have determined conclusively that these elements are in fall rains to defoliate deciduous trees, force them into dormancy. That was working directly with scientists at the University of Minnesota with hundreds of lab tests. We're not guessing.
It just gets to the point where you start to scratch your head. How much more? Every military base, let me rephrase that, virtually every military base, you'd know more about this than I, is purportedly, allegedly, deeply toxified with all manner of contaminants and toxins. Every military base, they just dump their stuff into the ground. They'll dig a pit. If they do that, some will probably dig a well. Now, you know the old story, some of you may remember. You dig a well, you put a drill pipe down in there, and you use that to tanker truck comes there, middle of the night, and the tanker truck trunk pumps all of its toxicity right down into that that well pipe. They just push it in the ground. They don't care. So the groundwater is not safe. I forget how much of the groundwater in this country is actually contaminated, Dane, but it's a very high percentage. It's something like 70%. Let me see if I can find it. I'll look. It's bad.
I think you're correct, 70, 80. So to fortify what you just stated, let's look at an example. Fort Lejeune, military Fort Lejeune, that knew their water was extremely contaminated. I think some of the levels of contamination were hundreds of times higher than the quote safe limit. And for those that don't have not thought about this, there's no safe limit to a toxic element. It's toxic. No level is safe. But when even then, the Fort Lejeune water was hundreds of times higher than quote safe limits on a number of elements. And they knew for almost 40 years, almost 4 years they didn't disclose it, and now every other commercial for the last couple of years, our lawyers, if you were at Fort Lejeune for more than a few weeks, call us and you can get some of the Superfund. They knew, and they did it, just like they knew in Agent Orange in Vietnam, just like they knew when they had the soldiers detonate the nuclear bombs in Nevada, and hey, jump out of the trench and run toward the blast site. Those soldiers died or yes. And 500, based on a recent peer-reviewed science study, from the detonations in Nevada, no less than, they're called the downwinders, no less than 500,000 Americans died as a result of those tests. How many Americans
died? We can add John Wayne to that list, too. That's what killed him. Mm-hmm. Radioactive dust from the test site. It blew right into their filming. They were making a film, and it blew right into the site, and they all inhaled it. He died out. Many others died in that cast, I understand, or that production company. It's not a joke. Yep. We're just being lied to. I guess that's the ultimate testimonial to this. We this government is not serving us. It hasn't for decades, and it's not our government now. There are some good people in there, but not enough, and they will not tell us the truth. All right, here, let's see, U.S. groundwater, according to recent studies, a significant proportion of the U.S. groundwater is polluted, with estimates suggesting that up to two-thirds of the groundwater supply may contain, this is just one thing, for those PFAS forever chemicals. That's 66% of the groundwater. We can call it 70 if we want. So there you go. That's the drinking water for at least 20-25% of the American population. And I think 70% is a correct and accurate number for the groundwater pollution index. It's that bad.
It is. I would suggest that's even conservative. And for PFAS chemicals, there's about 15,000 of those. So that's broad brush. That's a broad brush they're painting with there. And so let's look at studies of fish. These are recent studies, wild-caught fish in the U.S.
Yeah.
From 500 separate locations, that wild-caught fish are so toxic that eating one, the report stated, was equivalent to drinking a month's worth of tainted water. How's that?
Say that. Repeat that again, just for the record. That's horrible.
This is a peer-reviewed report from 500 locations in the U.S.
Yeah, 500.
One wild-caught fish was equivalent to consuming a month's worth of toxic water.
Can you believe that?
It's because the toxins accumulate in the fish. The older
they intensify in the cells. Yes, yes.
They do. And so back to the DDT dump off L.A., even in the early 80s, when I would spend a week at a time at what appeared to be pristine Channel Islands off the coast of California, I'd be out there all alone, and I would subsist off spearfishing in the kelp beds there.
Which island were you? I lived, Dane, hold on. I lived in Santa Barbara, and right out my back door, I lived on the edge of the beach, the cliff. It was about a 30-foot bluff next to UC Santa Barbara, and I looked straight out, and there was Santa Cruz Island, 23 miles long from west to east. It's a long island, and 21 miles offshore. Now, next to that is, let me try and remember, Anacapa Island, San Miguel Island, there's Santa Cruz. Which one were you on?
Santa Barbara Island, Anacapa, Santa Cruz, Catalina is where those islands where I spent most of my time. So even at those islands, and I found a state biologist who finally talked to me off the record. In no uncertain terms, said stop eating anything that you catch there.
And really?
Now we know about the DDT, which he may have known about then. And I mean, what do we eat? What are we supposed to eat that's not toxic? And at this point, again, these particles are so small, nanoparticles of polymer and heavy metals, they're being uptaken into everything.
Well,
the smaller
the
organism, the more the uptake is. So if you a lettuce, you're eating the actual plant itself, that's the most contamination. If you eat, for example, a nut from a tree, because the tree's a large organism, there's more filtering that takes place, so there's less contamination. But, I mean, how long can any of this possibly continue? And about the crash of even having food available, period, contaminated or not. Global pelagic fish population's down 90%. The food fish, 90% gone now. Bluefin tuna down 98%. How long does anybody think we're going to be able to feed ourselves?
Okay, now what Dane is talking about is a direct result, among other things, of the terrible Fukushima radioactivity dumped into the Pacific Ocean, which killed off, oh hell, I forget, 90% of the so-called big fishes. Now, he just said 98% of bluefin, they're big fishes, and the rest of it. If somebody told you, don't eat anything out of the Santa Barbara Channel or on the other side of the island, out into the Pacific end of things, that's pretty disgusting. That's really a shock. So I'm stunned. By the way, the Nature Conservancy bought Santa Cruz Island. There was a private owner. The Guarini family owned the westernmost 15-20% of it. They bought the Guarini family out, and they already owned the rest of it. So you can't go on to Santa Cruz Island unless you're escorted and you have to make special arrangements. The rest of them are not as tightly controlled, but Santa Cruz is basically off limits unless you go through the hoops. You got to jump through the hoops. But that's fascinating to me that the ocean life there is that bad. I'm not surprised, because if you follow this, from Fukushima all the way across the Pacific, from Japan on the west, moving to the east across the northern Pacific, is the North Pacific Current. That current brings all kinds of radiation from Fukushima directly across the Pacific. When that current gets off of about Seattle, we'll just keep it simple, it sort of splits in half. Half of it goes north up the British Columbia coast into the Gulf of Alaska and goes around and around and around, intensifying the pollution in every animal there, including salmon, because it has nowhere else to go. The other half of it comes down the Pacific coast from Seattle all the way down Oregon, California to Baja and below that, and then back across the Pacific and up to Japan again. It's this weird loop. You can see it online. But that North Pacific current has brought so much destruction radioactively over here. Nobody knows it, and nobody will talk about it. But I get it. And if they're saying that, you know, Santa Cruz Island, the Channel Islands, which Santa Catalina is one of them, even though it's much lower geographically than the group we're talking about, this is really bad news about the ocean. It's awful.
It is. And if we could add a few more stones on top of this to weave it together, we have now the inevitability of 442 more Fukushimas coming as societal collapse unfolds and these plants can't cool themselves, take 2 to 3 decades to cold shutdown. That's not going to happen. Nobody talks about that, and now we're going to put back online plants like Three Mile Island just to feed the power AI demands from AI. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So how does that work out? And then if we add as far as the oceans go, we have peer-reviewed study from the Atlantic, 500 locations there as well. Plankton decline down 90%. The base of life on Earth down 90% in the Atlantic. Back to climate engineering, which is destroying the ozone layer, which is allowing intense UV radiation to bombard the surface of the planet. Plankton have to feed in the upper layers of the water column. They're being cooked. And yes, there's many other causes of death to plankton. Again, the DDT, that's adding to the Fukushima problem you mentioned. And all this stuff is being stacked on top of each other. I mean, this is converging cataclysms, cascading collapse, and Americans are going about their life pretending that election theater is going to somehow make a difference. We need to wake up and realize we're going to be fighting for our lives very, very soon.
This is not an exaggeration, dear friends, by any measure. We're in real deep, deep environmental trouble. There's going to be a catastrophe. There already is a catastrophe. Let me be real clear about that. But it'll make the news at some point. People are dying right now from all of this. It's not a joke. They're sick. They may not be dead overnight, but they're getting sick. I don't know what you... I'm very careful about what I eat, and all of you should be equally as careful. I know Dane is. We don't eat commercially generated, what they call food. because it's toxic. You can't. You have to eat only organic and then hope that the organic label is legit. And there are fakes and frauds out there in the organic food industry. Believe that. So this is not a thing to be frivolous about at all. This is deadly serious stuff. How much time do you think we have before one or more, and there are a number of catastrophic scenarios we could put on the table here, before they begin to come home to roost? We don't have much time.
We don't. Things could go sideways any day, and they're desperate to try to cover things up. Newsweek just did a hit piece on myself and Robert Kennedy.
Come on.
Because of the exchange Robert and I had. They just did it.
Oh, and that's the one you sent me. I think I got. Did you send that to me? I saw it.
Perhaps. So they, you know, they're dredging that up even in a desperate attempt to try to marginalize the climate engineering obvious atrocities in our skies. So the bottom line on any timeline, what people need to understand, short of a nuclear exchange, which may be on the books now too, because we have circles in Washington openly discussing what they see as the benefit of a limited nuclear exchange to put enough particulate matter into the sky to slow down the warming of the planet. If they do that, we're done. We're done. That'll strip away what's left. The ionizing radiation will strip away what's left of the ozone layer. We're done. So,
unreal.
So that factor goes on top of everything else. But the moment the delusion is shattered in the population and they realize the party's over and they begin to panic, the power structure will play big cards, and we can count on that. And that there's so many factors past the breaking point right now that could happen at any given moment. No one can guess when the cascading collapse will really begin in earnest, but it's very close. Now let's add things like a BOE, Blue Ocean Event, North and South Pole. Blue Ocean Event means the ice is imploding there. I don't care what anybody's seen or what source they've seen it on. We have film footage of the ice imploding there, and this is not about Al Gore or AOC. It's about reality, climate engineering in the attempt to hide the planetary implosion and meltdown is only further fueling it overall. Engineered winter events come at the cost of an increased warming overall. So if we have a blue ocean event, when we do, they first said 2100, then they said 2050, then they said 2040, and 2030. Now they're saying perhaps next year. That means the oceans now absorb 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy as opposed to the ice reflecting 90%. Now we have massive methane fields on the seafloor thawing, releasing, entering the atmosphere. We have a runaway event.
Yeah, the methane is coming up. It's rising. I've been aware of that for quite a while. This is bad. What is your take? You mentioned methane. What is your take on this move to blame cattle for methane pollution on the planet?
Thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for bringing that up, because that's how they divide and polarize populations.
You bet.
It's just cow flatulence, right? It's so absurd. While they're ignoring the methane craters in Siberian tundra that look like nuclear bomb detonations, and they're pointing a finger at cow flatulence and coming up with feed to reduce the cow flatulence, cutting down a forest to raise cattle, that's definitely a problem. But the whole cow flatulence thing is designed to just completely polarize populations.
Totally.
That's right. Put their fingers in their ears and don't listen to another word. And that's why they do that.
You know, I did see another. Who the hell? Somebody was talking about cutting down our forests, one of the globalists, Northwest Forests, and not just cutting them down and using the timber for wood products. They were talking about burying the trees so they wouldn't emit any more carbon dioxide. What am I remembering? This was like a total insanity.
It's Bill Gates.
Gates.
You know, there may be others that did too, Bill Gates. But, I mean, this is the type of moronicism that we have, that it's so absolutely incomprehensible. And we just had an announcement from our government that they're going to have a special program to set up scientists to try to detect if anybody ever tries to geoengineer an alarm system set up. I mean, think how absurd this is. Anybody that's not clinically blind can look up and see they've been at this for decades, but now they're pretending they're going to set up a special network of alarm systems just in case anyone does try to geoengineer. I mean, you can't
what
make
a laugh.
This stuff up.
What a pathetic, ugly, disgusting thing to even hear. These people, go ahead.
Yeah, a population that wants to be lied to. And the other suggestions from the so-called science community, think about this, it's coming from the science community, suggesting we put Brazil-sized balloons into space to block the sun. How in the hell would you accomplish that? To put underwater curtains around all the glaciers in the polar regions to keep the warm water from infiltrating underneath and melting. I mean, these are complete sci-fi moronic.
Well, it's insane. It's insanity. It's not... It's not even science. It's science fiction insanity, yeah. Is what it is. Now, we had another aspect I wanted to ask you about. You're talking about water and currents, and this is an important one. I think it's called the North Atlantic Current that usually comes out of the Gulf of Mexico, or perhaps it's on the eastern side of Florida where it emanates, but it begins somewhere around Florida, South Florida, and heads all the way up the Atlantic Ocean, and ends up coming, not ashore, but near Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland, on the western side of that group of nations. And it warms the water so they don't get these terribly brutal cold winters. Now, I've forgotten what caused it, but something caused the North Atlantic Current to nearly shut down completely, bringing much more colder temperatures to England and Britain and Scotland and Ireland.
You're completely correct. It's the AMOC current. It's the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. It's a part of the Gulf Stream. And what is causing it to slow, and it will shut down, the meltwater off Greenland is so intense that it's stopping it's diluting the salt water that's normally heavier that sinks and fuels the conveyor. That sinking fuels the conveyor to go at deep water levels back south and then turning around and flowing north again. So we've just had a major potential confirmation of that current slowing down radically. The Gulf of Mexico should be cooling rapidly right now. We just had it go in exactly the opposite direction. It's in completely uncharted territory for warmth. Uh-huh. That's an indication that the circulation is shutting down. And people would think that this is somehow going to cause cooling on planet Earth, a day after tomorrow movie, Hollywood scenario. No, that's not what happens. Although some areas further north would then cool to some degree, that heat doesn't go anywhere. It just simply stays in the lower latitudes. So they superheat.
Uh-huh.
You follow me? Okay. We're talking about a heat distribution system. It's not going to stop the heating or slow it down or turn it around. Right. It simply stops distributing. So you have some areas that would temporarily be further north, but the lower latitudes would then begin to completely superheat.
Wow. All right. Well, once you've tipped it over, it ain't easy to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I don't know if they quit right now with all their geoengineering. Oh, thank God for the new alarm system. That was really nice. If they stopped all geoengineering now, could the planet recover? And if so, what would it, of course they won't, but what would the guess be? How long would it take for the planet to recover its basics in terms of its climatology and begin to recover from some of this crap? I think it could take a long, long time. I'm just guessing.
Inconceivably long. You're correct. So let's look at paleo data for events that are most similar, though not nearly as severe as what's happening now. 55 million years ago, the Paleocene-Eocene thermal maximum, mass extinction. Yeah. It's most parallel to now, except what's happening now, again, happening hundreds of times faster, which makes it hundreds of times worse. The equilibrium period after that mass extinction, that was a methane mass extinction, methane expelling the atmosphere, as is happening now.
Oh, excuse me, Dane. I didn't know there was a methane-based mass extinction. I didn't know this. That's very interesting. Go ahead, please.
Expulsions like that happening in the Arctic. I encourage your listeners to search Siberian methane craters. Look at the images. So the equilibrium period after that event was about 10 to 20 million years. So if we stopped all forms of human activity right now, and that's not just climate engineering, because we're damaging the planet from a thousand different directions.
Yes, sir.
If everything shut down right now, and that includes the 100 million barrels of hydrocarbon burned every day, and I know people say CO2, gas of life, but you have to have a balance. You have a certain atmospheric chemistry that everything's evolved with. When you completely disrupt that balance, you can't. CO2 doesn't help anything grow when there's not enough of trace elements in the soil to allow that to happen. There's so many variables. You can't just alter this atmospheric chemistry under which everything's evolved. So even though something's beneficial, like CO2 at some level, when you alter that level, it's no longer beneficial, and it adds to cascading other effects, like the fuse that lights the methane time bomb that then causes the avalanche of heating, and all these things are connected. It's not a simple equation. It's like water, Jeff.
No.
Obviously, we can only survive 2 or 3 days without water. For a crop, if you put that farm field a foot underwater, is that going to help? No. So, again, we have all these cascading effects in the toxic soils, as you so correctly mentioned. They are all completely contaminated. But if we stop all forms of human activity right now, no, we're through the guardrail. And that doesn't mean sit down and give up either. Doesn't mean that. We are responsible to do our best to sound the alarm, and people underestimate their own personal power. They underestimate that.
Oh, yeah.
If they stuck to their guns, stood their ground with family and friends that have their heads somewhere where the sun isn't shining, and passed on credible data, don't point at the sky and rant, pass on credible data, plant the seed. If they don't want to hear it, move on to somebody else and let that seed grow, because when the store shelves empty out, they'll be forced to wake up, and at least they'll know what happened and why. And then we can have a chance of altering this equation enough to possibly salvage some part of Earth's remaining life support systems.
Oh, my. The CO2 thing is so talked about and so poorly understood by the rank and file. They just don't understand it. If you ask somebody what percentage of the atmosphere of planet Earth is carbon dioxide, CO2, nobody would know. They'd never get it right. It's 0.04%.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, 0.04. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
0.04%.
That's it.
Yep. But what they don't realize, though, again, that's a fuse, and that's so people lean on that part of the argument and ignore the fact that that's the little stone that starts the avalanche in many ways. It's throwing atmospheric chemistry off, and so, for example, with pollen, which pollinators need to feed on, the increased CO2 has diminished the protein level in pollen very significantly because those organisms aren't adapted to it. And in the geologic blink of an eye, we've altered the chemistry of CO2 in the atmosphere. Again, it's a trace element, but it's an important element. And we've increased it by 50%. 50%. All these organisms are adapted to a specific atmospheric chemistry, and we've altered that. So even though parts of that chemistry are very necessary, you can't just alter the equation. You don't bake a cake and say, well, I'm going to put, 50% more of this and that in there, and it's not going to come out right then, is it? So, again, it triggers other downstream elements, again, methane being key. And Jeff, you see with methane, what you see the science community stating is that methane as a heat capturing gas is 20% more potent than CO2. That's what you see. What are they not telling us? It's 20% more potent over a 100-year timeline. We don't have 100 years. We don't have 10 years. Over a 10-year timeline, methane is 120 times more potent than CO2 at trapping heat. Over a 1-year period, it's hundreds of times more potent. And so, again, the science community in every way, although people think they're exaggerating what's wrong, they've actually grossly underreported the severity of what we face. And so what do we see now? And again, I want to encourage people that this is not about the environmental groups. They're all criminally hypocritical, ignoring climate engineering.
Well, most of them they're created opposition. They're just frauds.
In a sense, because their omission of climate engineering negates anything they have to say, everything they have to say. You can't omit the single most destructive human activity of all and pretend you care about the environment. You can't do it. So, again, the timeline we're on is so unimaginably non-linear. I want to stress that to people. They think, well, we can look backward. It took us 200 years to get here, so we have 200 more years. No, no. When you have a fuse that's burning along at a certain rate, and when it hits, once it hits the explosive, it's the end of the paradigm. And we are so close to that, and those in power are doing everything they can to hide it, distract us with every imaginable social, outrageous, everything, right? I mean, think how absurd the sort of socially divisive things we're facing now, you know, bathroom issues and, you know, anybody can go into any bathroom. I mean, it's all designed to distract and divide populations.
Of course.
The same, same with the political circus. Same thing. Political theater every day. Ignore the oncoming train. Watch the political theater.
No, it's all institutionalized, created chaos, which is designed to keep people from focusing. They don't want people to be able to sort things out. So they give them drugs like their cell phone screens. I call it terminal screen addiction. And they spend, on average, 4.5 hours a day. Younger people spend 6 and 7 hours a day on their phones. This is not life. This is not living. The reality they get from those screens that is indelibly imprinted in their subconscious is their reality base. That's where they go for reality on a simple intellectual level. But that's it. And that's not real. That's what they want us to think is real or want us to react to as being real. This whole culture has been carefully and satanically re-engineered to be reactive. It used to be we were proactive about life, proactive about business, about all kinds of things. Most people now are staring at the screen. If the ball game is on, they're happy. If there's social media posts that they get endorphin rushes from and they get likes, they're happy. It's so damn easy what they've done, and so tragic, because there's no way back from it when the norm now is overwhelmingly being impressed upon us 25 hours a day. That's the norm. No thinking, just react. And they may think they're thinking, but they're not. And when they don't have the data to make any kind of an offensive thrust at making sense of all this, they don't have the data, what hope is there? I'm not, Dane's optimistic, I'm sure, to a degree, but we know each other very well. I'm not. I think that this, the evil that is in control of this planet has nothing in mind but the destruction of the great majority of human beings. I think the world genocide is more than real, and I think they're probably going to succeed. And I'm sorry to say that. I see nothing to make me think otherwise. You got 81% of America, at least, injected with a known lethal bioweapon that is going to and is causing a genocide. How else do you to approach it? You have to look at it for what it is. These people want us dead. They think they're going to have a happy little world with AI really running things and a certain tech class around to repair AI and take care of the tech lasso that we're all tied up in. It's crazy what they want. They don't want the rank and file common man and woman anymore. That's why these shots have made virtually all men and all women sterile. The late brilliant pathologist Dr. Arne Burkhardt found that in male testes, after the person has been injected, there are no more, as in zero, spermatozoa to be found. It's all spike protein. That male is sterile. And we know what's happened to women and the crises they're facing all the time. This has been a genocidal weapon, but certainly a mass sterilization weapon as well as anything. Go ahead. I'm talking too much here. You still there, Dane? Ah, maybe we lost him. I guess we did. All right, we're going to get him back. Hope I didn't scare him away. But that's the truth. These so-called vaccines are sterilizing drugs, among many other things. And that's a fact. So birth rates are down everywhere that these vaccines have been given, forced on people in many ways, and the people will never be told that they are mass sterilizing agents. Again, among many other things. You there, Dave?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I still showed the line open. I couldn't hear any of them urine, so I apologize.
Well,
for
No, it's not your fault. They do this all the time, especially when things get to be particularly touchy in their regard. They don't like us talking about certain things. Anyhow, go ahead.
It's interesting.
I did mention that these shots have sterilized most people that have taken them, and they don't know it, but that's okay.
Well, it's all connected. Everything's connected. Those in power know the current paradigm. If you maintained any longer, they should know they're the most responsible for it. But in every possible way, they're trying to degrade and diminish the population. And back to the ozone layer, 30% remaining, we had no other problems, none. That by itself is an extremely near-term existential threat. Encourage people to not ignore their senses. When the sun feels like it's burning on you, even in the winter, that's because it is. That's because the atmosphere is that damaged.
We've talked about this, and I was out this summer multiple times, and with a shirt on, and right through the shirt, burning sensation on my skin every time. Many, many days like that. So, and that never happened when we were kids. I don't know how people can lay out in the sunshine anymore. It's too damn damaging. And it must be discomfort. It has to be uncomfortable. But whatever.
It's a mistake. And the fourth, between the ozone layer, the contaminants, the forest where I live, Jeff, is deafeningly silent. Definitely. And they're, when we're under a high pressure dome like we are right now, where they're blocking our rain again, there's no air movement. It's stone silent, and there's almost nothing alive out here.
If you want to get a good look at air, as I don't know how accurate windy.com is, but I like to go there and look. Windy.com. You know this site, and they do show our Pacific Northwest. When I was a kid and you were a kid, Dane, what do we have? We had September, October, the storm started, storm front after storm front would come across the North Pacific, give us a rain, give us a couple days off, then rain again, couple days on, couple days off. No more. Yeah. No more. We've had how many days now since the bomb cyclone went north? How many days with no rain now already? It's got to be a week. More than that.
Yeah, there's nothing in sight.
Nothing in sight.
Nothing in sight. If you look at the scheduled temperature map, the pendulum swings back and forth. So up till the passing of the event you just mentioned, split almost down the center of the country, the western half showed below normal temperatures with above normal rainfall. Now the pendulum swings exactly the other way, split down the middle of the country, below normal rainfall in the west, way above normal temperatures in the west, and the exact opposite in the east. They don't have the resources or the ability to typically coast-to-coast anything, so they just swing it back and forth.
They're doing this, right?
Most people.
This is geoengineering.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would encourage your listeners to search this title. It will provide many detailed answers. Geoengineering is creating freeze-fry extremes. The NOAA maps are there. The exact scenarios I just described are there.
Freeze-fry extremes.
Yeah. Geoengineering is creating freeze-fry extremes. And go to somewhere other than Google. Google is doing everything they can to hide our data. Everything.
Oh,
you almost can't find anything of ours there. So.
Yeah, there's very evil people there at Google.
No
doubt. Let's tell everyone, Dane's website. Go to his name and guess and click on it, or just remember geoengineeringwatch.org. I want you to go there and look at The Dimming. It's a brilliant documentary, the best documentary ever on chemtrails. And take a look at his sessions with RFK Jr. Do you stay in touch with him fairly often, or is he probably overwhelmed with trying to get organized?
He is right now, but we were scheduled... Robert and I were scheduled to have a second exchange on the day that his mother died.
Oh,
so that exchange was canceled. We were scheduled that day. And we are working on another exchange. I communicate often with Children's Health Defense and Mary Holland there. Mary works directly with Robert. So I hope we'll have another exchange soon because it would be very beneficial at this point. Yeah.
Well, he was not up to speed originally on chemtrails. Didn't he even ask you, are chemtrails real or something like that? He had some real doubt about it.
He's trying to walk a line, and it's past time for him to try to walk any lines. He needs to take the gloves off.
Yes, I agree.
No more.
No.
Yeah, we don't have time to take the long way around the barn.
No. All right. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you as always, and you be safe, and we'll talk soon.
You too, Brother Jeff. Take care.
Okay. Good night. Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org. And if you haven't seen The Dimming, it's a terrific documentary. It's right on his homepage. All right, gang. Hold on. We'll be right back with David Oates after this.